Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the second Sunday after Epiphany. A nice, bright, warm morning here in Melville, Minnesota. Well, it's warm in here anyway, right? Warm spirits, maybe, if not temperature-wise. But regardless, though, as far as I know, the men's ice fishing trip to even farther north is still on. So hopefully the heaters will be working in the shacks, so we'll have a good time. But so a lot of us will be out of town for the first half of this week, so please keep that in mind. Maybe you've already those that aren't going have already planned a party without some of us here, but it should be a good time as we head up to Lake of the Woods. Other than that, obviously a lot of stuff going on, even though this is winter. You'll notice, of course, we have some of our centennial activities that have started up. There are the snowflakes, of course, that we've seen decorating our fellowship hall entrance area. There will be a drawing next Sunday, after worship. So please keep that in mind if you want to be part of that drawing. It looks like there's some great things in that basket, and I know we have ideas kind of all throughout the year of similar things to do. So there are, of course, picture directories. Those have been out for a while. Of course, also keep in mind the fundraising calendars that we've been doing. Looks like they're only $10, and they're in the fellowship hall. That has a lot of great photos of both recent history and older history of our congregation. So that's kind of a great way throughout the year. There's some little fun tidbits there as well. Might even be a good thing, if you know some folks that aren't able to make it here as much anymore but might still enjoy it, maybe get that as a little gift for someone else. That might make a nice little way for those folks you know that aren't able to be here that often or really all that much at all anymore. So, we've also announced that we're on February 6th. We're going to do a little Holden evening prayer service in the evenings, that should be a good time too to kind of churches kind of around the country and I guess around the world are not every church but those that love Holden evening prayer service evidently are going to be trying to all do that simultaneously that evening. Malmo Lions have a Valentine's Day thing planned again this year. And also keep in mind, Isle Area Food Shelf. There's some food items that donations that might be appreciated. And of course, today is our snow day activity, another kind of part of our 100th year celebration we're going to try out. So guessing most of the activities will be indoor today, given the weather. But that should be a lot of fun today with and some good food, hopefully, as well, with some chili and cornbread and hot chocolate and all that kinds of stuff. So, anything else we need to announce before we begin?
Just join us today.
Join us today, yeah, exactly.
We've got lots of games.
Yeah.
Games, kitchens, fellowship, laugh, giggle.
Yeah. No dunk tank, though.
Yes, well, you know
yeah.
About it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, if there isn't anything else yet, then our opening hymn is hymn 434. Hymn 434.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of strength, your Son Jesus withstood many temptations, because his love for you was greater than his earthly desires. Make our love for you so strong that we might withstand anything that threatens to stand between us and your love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our main and gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Later, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read our psalm responsively. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. The word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared the story of Christopher Thomas Knight, a man who, in his early 20s, decided to leave society behind and disappear into the dense Maine woods. Except for a couple words to a hiker, and 20 years later, mumbling a bit to a family of fishermen, he had no direct contact with people until he was caught in 2013. Caught, controversially, because he sustained and sort of sealed his solitude by carefully breaking into people's cabins and taking their beans and Twinkies and the occasional clean pair of men's underwear, which perhaps doesn't earn you the immediate attention of the police, but over time, of course, it did make the people in that area a little uncomfortable, as well as thinking they were a little bit crazy when their batteries and things went missing. It's one of those stories, as you read it, you're not quite sure if you want to condemn him or admire him or just want to help him, find him a nice patch of land somewhere and have a little drop box for some food and just let him be by himself. Of course, maybe it would have made more sense to tell that story this week as we hear about Jesus going off into the wilderness. Certainly there are a number of times when Jesus, maybe Jesus and some of his disciples or a smaller portion of disciples, they do seek solitude. They do seek time by themselves. They don't always manage to find it because sometimes people come following after them. But we do know that solitude is important. Of course, this isn't exactly about solitude so much today, even though it initially appears that way. This is, of course, the famous story of Jesus' temptation by Satan in the wilderness. And maybe it is a little striking for when it falls in Jesus' story, right? Jesus, you know, has lived now for 20, 30 years of his life, but all of a sudden it's time for him to begin his public ministry. He's baptized in the Jordan by John. There's this great display of the heavens opening, and then Jesus splits town, right? I'm sure to his followers it was a little, well, I guess maybe he hadn't quite, depending on the gospel, maybe he hasn't quite called all of his followers yet, but certainly it would have seemed a little shocking, perhaps at least to John the Baptist and those that were there, that all of a sudden now this guy is just heading out of town, off into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, no food. They might start to wonder about him and what exactly is going on out there. Of course, John, being the person who would eat locusts and wild honey, probably figured he was okay, but everybody else is probably wondering a bit what Jesus is planning. And of course, as is often the case, Jesus' solitude doesn't last forever. Satan comes to him and offers him temptations. And, of course, knowing people that Jesus, as much as he is the Son of God, is also a human being, he first tries to get at him through his stomach, right? He hasn't eaten in 40 days, so, hey, Jesus, why not make for yourself a loaf of bread? But Jesus cites the Bible, wiggles out of the first challenge. But Satan, of course, is clever, right? We'll get back to this in a few moments. But Satan, of course, knows, well, if Jesus wants to quote the Bible, I know the Bible too, right? And quotes the Bible back at him. We can understand, I think, in our own lives, even if we aren't tempted in the same way that Jesus is tempted, maybe by hunger at times, but certainly I think none of us have been offered the world, to have that sort of ability to take control over the whole world, and probably for a good thing. I mean, I love all of you, but I'm not sure I want you in control of all the nations of the world. Myself, neither, I don't think. But we do have temptations in our lives. We feel ourselves drawn to something that maybe we know we probably shouldn't be drawn to. We might remember that famous passage of the Apostle Paul, right, that I do not do the good that I want, I do the evil that I do not want, right? We can understand it when Paul says this, that sometimes we can feel almost like we're being led along, usually by our mouths, right? Our mouths are talking, and then our brains were like, I really shouldn't be saying these things, but the mouth just keeps on flapping, right? And it isn't until, it's not even the situation where it's not until later, right? So that's certainly the case sometimes, but other times it's like in the moment, and we're like, why am I saying these words? Why are they coming out of my mouth? And we get ourselves in trouble, right? We feel that pull to do things and say things we know we shouldn't do. Of course, perhaps, maybe temptation cuts a lot out. I was thinking about that this week. Maybe another way to help
think about the nature of temptation is to think about that concept of self-medication, right? Which is maybe only slightly more positive than what we think of when we think of temptation, but there is this, I think there is a little bit more complexity in that idea of self-medication, right? We do, of course, hear it at times in negative contexts, right? People who use substances, whether alcohol or drugs, to sort of treat themselves, or whatever it is that they're going through, whether it's depression or grief or who knows what. And of course, there are other people that engage in other unhealthy behaviors in a way to sort of compensate for some other deeper, darker injury within themselves, you know, whether it's sexuality or it's some sort of eating disorder or it's harming yourself or harming others. And yet, no doubt there are many of us who self-medicate in much more positive ways, right? We exercise, or we work hard at our jobs, or we throw ourselves into some hobbies. Maybe we even go off into a frozen lake when it's 40 below weather to bring ourselves some peace of mind, I guess. It seems insane, right, when you step back and think about it. Why would any sane human being do this? But we do, right? We enjoy those times, and they provide us with some benefit. We medicate ourselves maybe by being alone in the woods. As much as we might condemn, you know, that gentleman for stealing from people, we can understand that impulse to need some time by ourselves, to balance ourselves out in some way. And isn't that better than always going to the doctor for one problem or another? And that is not to put down the important work that doctors and therapists do, but I mean, some of these behaviors are good for us. We do medicate ourselves in some way. But of course, there is a distinction, and it can be a difficult one, between self-care and selfishness, right? It can get a little muddy at times. You know, I can convince the church council that it's okay for me to go spend 3 days ice fishing with the guys, and that's working, but if I try to just live out on the lake 20, 30 hours a week instead of coming into the office, we might have to have some more serious conversations, right? They might be, pastor, if you really feel like you need this for your mental health, maybe you should talk to a doctor, or maybe we need to cut your salary or something, you know? There is this fine line where we do need to take care of ourselves, but we need to find a way that it is healthy and that it doesn't hurt other people at the same time, or hurt ourselves in the long run. You know, I think at the heart of temptation, at the heart of self-medication, is a lot of times there's this danger that what we're trying to do is cover up something more serious by meeting like a more short-term need, right? Or maybe there's some aspect of privacy, right? We're afraid that if we bring our full big problems into the light of day, you know, that will impose something on other people. Or maybe we're afraid that it'll impose something on us, that we'll have to finally admit something to ourselves. You know, temptation often offers a short-term benefit, as I said, over a long-term one. We might be tempted to tell that jerk, right, just what we think about him, even if it will backfire us in the long run. Maybe, you know, we worry, we pick these things, procrastination, right? This is often a way, too. A lot of us are tempted toward that, right? At the end of a long day, maybe we don't do the things we know we should probably do, or at least that our wife knows that we should probably do, and it does come back to bite us in the long run. But in that moment, man, just sitting on the couch, taking it easy, that feels like a pretty good thing. You know, Jesus, too, he has these temptations. He knows he has a difficult road ahead of him. He knows, you know, not just in terms of fasting, but in the change that he wants to bring to this world. You know, the devil, as I said, is very clever. The devil knows that Jesus wants to have his reign over the earth. And man, wouldn't it be easier if you could just snap your fingers and everyone would just fall in line? But that isn't exactly the change that Jesus wants to bring. That isn't the way that he wants to rule. That isn't the kind of world Jesus wants to build. But maybe it does seem like a convincing price to pay at the time, right? Only just a few minutes of groveling, a few minutes of worshiping Satan, and gosh, the whole world could be under my control. And as I said, Satan knows how to quote the Bible. This is one of the great lessons of this passage that I'm sure some of you have heard a preacher preach on before, right? That, you know, so often we are tempted when we want to win arguments that we're going to use a nice good Bible bullet, right? We're going to win our case, we're going to quote the Bible, but it is humbling to remember that even Satan can quote the Bible. That for all the horrible, hateful things that have been justified by using the Bible, maybe people should have read this passage a little more carefully, because it does hold us to a little introspection when we do use the Bible. But ultimately, I think as much as Paul makes a good point about us doing the evil we do not want to do, a lot of times we're tempted by things that seem like they are things that we should do. Right? We are tempted by things that feel right in the moment, that they give us some immediate relief, but don't give us the ultimate healing that we need. That's that's the dangerous thing when we do self-medicate, when we don't bring the things that we are struggling with, the suffering that we're having, that we are experiencing out into the light. And that's the danger, too, of not pushing ourselves to share in other people's suffering as well, that things get hidden, that things get kind of papered over. We kind of either stick our heads in the sand or we cover the rug or whatever sort of metaphor or expression you want to use. You know, those temptations never fully address the pain that we are feeling. But Jesus, you know, he's not about hiding. Jesus is not a person, he may sit with us, he may come to us in our dark places, but Jesus also brings the light. Jesus also shines a light in our dark places. Jesus brings things out into the open where we can see them, where he knows us fully and completely. And that can be scary, right? That can be, maybe we don't want to see have things all brought in, out into the light, because maybe it also shines a light on the bad things that we've done. But Jesus doesn't shine the light, at least not, I don't think that's his end goal, to show us for the horrible, sinful people we are. It might be a good moment, a good humbling moment for us to see that, but that isn't Jesus' end goal. The end goal is healing. The end goal is love. The end goal is to rebuild the world and reign over the world in a way that's not about control and power and the sword. It's about a reign that extends through the care that we show to one another. You know, there may be people in our world, there may be our times in our lives where when we shine the light, we do need to use a little discretion, right? There may be folks like that guy who just want to be left alone in the woods, where if we're finding the helpful healing solution, we need the glare of light that's not like the old detective movies, right, where they kind of put them under the spotlight and grill them. We need to be a little more careful and pastoral than that. But shining a light on our suffering and on the suffering of others, this is our goal as Christians, so that we might bring healing in those places, so that we might walk beside people in those places, so that we might just sit down and keep our mouths shut with people in those places. I know our women's group this week was talking about the book of Job, and that's one of the great lessons of the book of Job, that sometimes our best pastoral care is when we just keep our mouths shut and we just sit with people and maybe bring them a hot dish if we're good Lutherans or good Midwestern Lutherans anyway. But the light that Christ brings, it's not always a glaring light, but it is a great light. And sometimes that great light is just sort of like that porch light, right? Not that bright, but enough so that when people do feel that they need some time with another person, that they're welcome, that when they come home, that we're waiting for them there. Sometimes that's how the light of God shines in our world, like a porch light beckoning us home. Amen.
Thank you.
please rise as we are able for our affirmation of faith. Let us speak our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your Spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, for vineyards and orchards, fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas. Fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations. Guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources, and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly. Transform us and fill us with your life, so that we pour out your love in service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we pray for our world, both locally and across the globe this day. We pray for all those suffering in the wake of natural disasters. We suffer from all those affected by our government shutdown, that our leaders may find a way of compromise. Please be with all those suffering to make ends meet in this time. We also pray for Jamie Kloss, that she was returned home, and pray for her difficult road ahead and for her family. We pray for all those, O God, who suffer from violence around the world. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Please keep our men's group safe as we travel north in tomorrow, and that we may have a good time of rest and relaxation and fun, and may return home safely and perhaps with a few fish. And for all those who are enjoying the winter weather and those who are just trying to survive it, we offer this prayer, O God. With thanksgiving, O God, we remember those who have died in faith. Inspire us by their witness, and unite us in the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Blessed are you, O holy God. You are life and light of all.
By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that, refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. All are welcome. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free, use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and upon you and remain with you always. Amen. We will sing our closing song three times because it's a sort of a one-verse sort of a deal. So 721.